Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
TRE in the afternoon, presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. It's just coming up to 10 past five. You are listening to Women Talk. And with me in the studio today is Nikki Broom, Janet Barnett and Franny Katz. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
And this hasn't happened in ages, but you're sitting in the order that I've got your names down, which is nice. I love it when that happens. So we all, let me just do this first of all. If you're listening at home and you'd like to get involved, you can. Here's how.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
Now, diets. The Mediterranean diet, with its olive oil, fresh seafood and seasonal fruit, has long been hailed as one of the most healthy ways to eat. But now, scientists say a traditional African diet packed with grains, root vegetables, yams and leafy greens could be even more effective at keeping healthy and warding off diseases. Is this something you think about, the different types of diet and the different types of food, or do you just, you know, just know what's healthy and do it?
I think you need to sort of always take these, but when it's all things come in the press, you've just got to take them sometimes with a pinch of salt, because as long as you've got a balance,
well, not too much salt,
but not that much, because as long as you have a balanced diet and you eat well and it's, you know, nutritious and not the thing I noticed about this, it doesn't have lots of refined sugar in it. Mm. I think overall that's generally what the problem is nowadays. There's so much refined sugar everywhere in everything you eat, whereas in that kind of diet it's very healthy, it's very natural.
Yeah.
But I just think as long as you're maintaining, you know, within your culture where you live, a healthy, balanced, and you're aware of what you're eating, all these things come in. You can't always change and change. It's not practical.
No, exactly.
Two years later, it's like, oh, that's really bad. And don't drink coffee, drink coffee. Don't have chocolate, eat chocolate. Yeah, and so you've got to just, I think, maintain a level of kind of, you know, open-mindedness, being
and
a bit
common
sensible.
Sense.
Common sense, and just eating well.
Yeah. I've always wondered why they say the Mediterranean diet's so great, considering the amount of deep-fried fish.
It's olive oil, isn't it? It's the olive oil.
Yes.
They always go.
Because I'm like, olive oil's amazing, but I've also deep-fried many things in my olive oil, and I'm like, is that still... Does that count?
Does it count? yeah, it does.
Not as good.
I'm a huge fan of a simple diet. We don't eat out that much. Maybe it's because we've got four children, we can't just afford to eat out. But just having the simple meals at home, you know, a chili con carne, no added salt or no added sugar, no added anything. I love all of that stuff, and I think that is basically the healthiest thing.
If you're making food yourself. That's it. I was going to say, making the food yourself. So you're actually cooking. If you've got kids as well, just cooking and knowing what you're putting in, because then you can control basically what everyone is eating and you know what's in it.
No ready meals.
No, they're full of, full of sugar.
Yeah. No takeaways. Although we have it real good that we do get an Indian takeaway technically every Friday.
But
it's actually
so
from our cleaner, who is the most amazing Sri Lankan chef.
Oh, how lovely.
Good.
I know that she's made it at home as well. So even though, obviously, I would never say no to it. It's a homemade takeaway. That's
brilliant.
Not on purpose. That just
so
happens.
You.
I know.
Look at you.
I feel really fancy
smug.
Now.
Yeah. Really smug.
I'm very quiet on this one because I'm sitting between two obviously very healthy young
it's
women.
Right, Janet.
That's
only what
I'm talking
and
about.
It's all the healthy stuff, and I think that's where I've gone wrong.
Okay.
And if somebody presented it all to me on a plate for my meal every day, I would eat it and enjoy eating it. I think, I really should do that for myself, and I don't.
Right.
What do you cook?
I don't.
Okay, there's the issue.
Fair enough. Well, you've got to love it, haven't you? You've got to enjoy cooking. If you see it as a real kind of hassle and you're not really into it, it's difficult.
So what would you eat? Would you, what would, like a sandwiches or?
Yeah, toast.
Toast.
Okay. What, for dinner?
Every meal.
And cereal. And soup. I'm all right at soups. Oh, I can soup's do a very good. Nice. I think, well, if I put those vegetables in a soup.
Yeah.
That's oh, good. Yeah, that's good.
But it's really quite lazy, isn't it?
I was going to say no. Soup takes a lot of effort. There's a lot of components going into
a
soup.
There's a lot of chopping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're doing
good
soup.
At chopping.
I'm not a bit. I see, I hate chopping. I'd rather have someone else come in and sous chef the chopping part.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I do. I'm basically the chopper.
Oh, are you the chopper?
Anything.
Yeah. My husband, I'd love him to be the chopper. I only get it maybe once a week.
Max.
You get
talking
the chopper once a week.
Got a tangent here.
Funny.
You're doing all right.
You only get your husband's chopper once a week. Love it. Love it. We did it all on this show. On that note, yes. Let's move on. Okay, ministers are pleading with regulators not to ban firms such as McDonald's from advertising on television just to stop them from promoting junk food. From October, adverts for less healthy food and drink will be barred before the watershed, along with a total ban on paid-for online ads for junk food. But there are fears the law designed to tackle childhood obesity could see some brands banned from advertising altogether. I think this is great that they're stopping junk food advertising. This is an amazing step forward.
I don't even know why they need to advertise anymore. If you're going to buy it, you're going to buy it. You know it's there.
Mm. No, but I think the point here is, though, they penalise the advertisers for saying, you can't put it on before the watershed because it's linked to childhood obesity. But then the point is, you've got to, if you do have kids, you've got to then, if you see the advert, you've got to then, as a parent, allow the child to get in the car, go out, buy it. So there's an element of parental responsibility here as well, because... Mm. It's like toys at Christmas. There's loads of toys at Christmas. You don't go, oh, well, I'll buy them all because they've seen them all. Equally, if you see Coke, Fanta, or whatever, I don't know if you can say brands on air, but you know what I mean? Anything like that. As a parent, mother, father, you can say, yeah, we're not having McDonald's because we don't eat it. Do you see what I mean? So the firms, I can see why, because it puts the idea in the head, so it makes it more difficult and people want it, particularly kids. But you also have the other side, which is a parental side, saying, even if there is an advert for sweets, crisps, whatever, before the watershed, like the article states, you still have a choice to say, I'm not buying that.
So, I agree.
I mean, it's a double-edged sword, really.
Yeah, there is a big group of people that I've noticed. I only know this because I'm watching this really great show about US-UK switch. They're like school kids switch.
Yeah.
And obviously in the UK, they all basically leave school and go straight to the shop and buy whatever they want.
Yeah.
Mm. So actually in that scenario, they're buying themselves. The parents have given them money and they're buying it.
Yeah.
Obviously for younger kids, they don't have that freedom.
Yeah, it's different.
But for like the teens...
Yeah, but then weirdly, I bet the Americans are more obese.
Oh, 100%. Well, because it's cheaper to buy... processed food in America than it is to buy fresh food. Yeah. But that's their problem. They're backwards in this scenario.
That's an economic issue.
That's a whole other issue.
But I think it's a fine line, because if you give kids get the money at a certain age, so by that time you have to let them go and hope you've instilled in them to make the right choices, to buy the right snacks. And it's a very difficult one, because banning advertising doesn't mean that it'll stop it.
Yeah.
No, not necessarily.
It might help, but there's a parental side to it.
I'm sure it would help, though. Yeah, kids from young, you know, the way they advertise, not just on television, but also, you know, when you're going to the checkout and it's all the colourful sweets and chocolates
and
there.
It infiltrates your mind.
It affects adults, never mind children. Yeah. But for children from a young age, seeing colourful things and things with animals on it, and, you know, all the junk food is attractive to look at with the colours. And from a young age, they see this.
And it really makes me happy, because I'm such a terrible mother that I'm literally in the supermarket and I'll be like, oh, it's Friday, I'll buy them these animal biscuits. They didn't ask for them. Why have I bought them the animal biscuits? Why have I decided? Because I've seen them in the shop and I've been like, they'll love me.
You were attracted by the colours, weren't you?
Yeah.
And it was the shapes.
I'm not sure that it's quite right to start banning things in quite that way. It's very draconian because you're then setting the rules as being set by somebody who thinks they know better than everybody else. So then where does it stop? I'm going to ban that radio programme because it talks about X, Y and Z and I don't approve of that. I'm going to ban that car colour because it's offensive to me, so I'm going to stop it. It's just who but controls the rules.
You can't argue that junk food is unhealthy, whereas you can say, I don't care if you don't like a red car. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's when true. We're talking about to bring health, examples. Yeah.
But when we're talking about health, they banned cigarette advertising, didn't they?
Yeah.
Because it was deemed to be unhealthy, no good for anyone, and therefore, why are they pushing it? So there is an argument to say, well, junk food is unhealthy for everyone. There is, you know, not going into details about brands. Exactly. Alcohol could be the alcohol advertising. Yeah. It could be. It's an interesting thing, isn't it?
It is interesting.
If they can ban cigarette advertising, why not ban alcohol advertising and junk food advertising?
Yeah.
They could be put in the same
category.
Yeah. And then you jump into pharmaceuticals, which anyone could argue.
Yeah. And then it's handbags. Yeah. Nobody's happy.
Because how have those clothes been made?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
right.
No, it is. It's opening a whole can of worms. Yes.
I can remember at school. At junior school, and it was the early days of tuck shops.
Oh, yeah, the best.
You know, you all probably had tuck
shops.
Still
have them, yeah.
And they decided it would make the tuck shops more healthy. I can't remember what else was in it except licorice sticks. Now, they weren't licorice sticks as in processed licorice sticks. They were sticks of wood.
Okay, you had to chew them.
And they were like a fad. But you found out they actually had to chew an awful lot of wood to get the same licorice.
Yes.
Oh my word, that's so cool. I've never heard of that.
It looked like a twig.
Yeah.
And you could chew it, and it was actually like chewing a twig, but it had a licorice taste.
So was it actual wood?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was more of a root, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was
like a root.
So it's licorice
comes from.
Licorice is from a tree.
A natural,
No, I did not know that either.
It's a natural product.
It's not from Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
I remember Mum used to buy them for me. That was like a sweet treat when I was growing
up. Well, you sat there with no telly.
Bit of wood.
In the corner. Anna's all right. She's got wood. She's got no TV. Little stick there. She's all right.
I was a very happy child.
Give her a book as well.
Hurry up, Grandma.
Oh, brilliant. Let's take a break.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Women Talk with me in the studio today, Nikki Broom, Janet Barnett and Franny Katz. There is an article here talking about champagne sales and how they have plunged to a 25-year low, with the alcohol-free lifestyle of Generation Z blamed for the slump. Demand for the French fizz is thought to have fallen amid the cost of living crisis and the uncertain political climate in Britain. Consumers are now more than ever choosing to buy cheaper alternatives. A total of 22.3 million bottles of champagne were shipped to Britain last year, the lowest since 2000. Meanwhile, sales of alternatives like Prosecco are at an all-time high.
So I don't think you could say that it's because of Gen Z not drinking if Prosecco's gone up.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm a non-drinker, so I am in that. Definitely not Gen Z, though. Mm-hmm. But I am I'm a non-drinker, and I would always at this stage in my life prefer to buy cheaper.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
But also, isn't Prosecco, I mean, again, as a non-drinker, isn't Prosecco just as nice?
There's a big debate.
Quite.
No,
oh, okay,
most people would say no.
Okay, sorry, everyone.
So it's personal taste.
Yeah, but I think overall with this, I think it's the cost.
Yeah.
Because champagne can be so prohibitively expensive. Mm. And if you're younger going out and you want the Prosecco sort of a glass of fizz or whatever, and it's just much more accessible.
Yeah.
Because, so, I mean, because if they are buying Prosecco, it's definitely because they're not drinking. They're just going, I think, for a cheaper option, which I understand because, you know, a decent bottle of champagne is quite expensive. And if you're going out as a, you know, young 20-something and you for a birthday and you want a bottle, you know, some fizz, you would go for the Prosecco, wouldn't you? Because you're not going to suddenly go, oh, I'll have a bottle of Dom Perignon or whatever.
Yeah. And even buying at home, if you're buying from a supermarket or whatever, you can't get a bottle of champagne in euros for much under kind of 23 euros for a bottle of champagne.
Uh-huh.
Whereas Prosecco, depending on the brand, 5-6 euros. Carver, you can get even cheaper, but also going up to kind of 20 depending on the brand.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So it's more affordable.
Yeah.
I always feel like
it definitely is price. Yeah. I think it's price led that.
Yeah.
For sure. And I always think champagne is like, we're celebrating.
Yeah. Special treat.
So you might get one bottle of champagne and then 10 bottles of Prosecco.
We're celebrating
Let's
Friday.
Pop the celebrating Saturday.
Exactly. This is something that I thought was interesting, which was sort of part of this article, but not connected to alcohol. Please don't expect them ever to say thank you. It may be time to say goodbye to good manners with thank you in danger of dying out, as Gen Z feel uncomfortable saying it. Just under 1 in 10 say they prefer to text the abbreviation TYSM, which means thank you so much. More than 10% of Gen Z say they do not like being in a position where they have to say thank you and prefer to send an emoji.
No, not acceptable.
No.
That is not acceptable. As an adult, but also particularly for kids, you have to instill in them, no matter what, that it's not just, oh, hi, thank you, whatever, that T-Y-S-M. It's just you have to speak, talk, thank you, write a thank you card. I'm really old-fashioned about that. Because they have to know.
You on thank you cards. We were
absolutely
taught to send thank you cards. And I think it's great when youngsters now send a thank you card rather than a message.
It's really special, isn't it? Because it doesn't happen a lot. Yeah. So
it's nice. It makes a big difference.
Go on.
I have always wanted to be a thank you card sender. My parents instilled in me that we had to send thank you cards, and for that very reason, I don't send thank you cards.
what about your kids? Your kids wouldn't send
thank you cards. It's just a lot of hassle. You've got to go to the be able to post something. That's outrageous.
how nice though for the person that you're sending it to.
Totally agree.
It's so gorgeous, and it's like it comes in the post. They don't know. I think it's just that.
I totally agree, but we don't really even manage to receive posts.
We can't even write.
Oh no, it's it is difficult with post in Spain. That's a great excuse.
I just got my Christmas card.
It's true. Yes, it's true.
I just got my Christmas card the other day from my mum.
Are you
serious? From the UK,
in April.
Yeah. So we do not get our post here, so I don't know if I'd trust sending a thank you card. However, I completely agree that they're fantastic, and I love receiving them. I just have always been terrible at it. You know when you go stay at people's houses, and then after I'm like, okay, to-do list, got to write that thank you card. Next thing you know, I've sent a gift because I still can't get round to writing the thank you card. I've spent more money and sent a gift via something because...
Sent some champagne.
My brain can't do the thank you card. Anyway, having said that, manners, top of the list.
Absolutely.
Everyone has to say thank you. But this seems to be about text messages specifically.
Yeah, I know.
Which is conflicting because probably I won't say thank you all the time. I might actually just do a love heart.
Yes, exactly. I'm a fan of emojis, but I would say...
Oh, you would just say thank you so much.
Yeah,
It does...
Even on a text.
Depending on who I'm talking to, though. Like, if it's a friend, I might literally... She knows my love heart will mean I'm thankful.
Or does she?
She better.
Depends what colour the love heart is. Yeah, you were saying all the different colours.
Not purple.
But you think how easy it is just to click on the love heart and send it as a reply. But if you actually wrote, thank you very much, that was a really great lunch, or...
And also with kids as well, the effort it takes sometimes to get them to sit down, you're like, write the card. And it's instilling in them this thing that they have to be able to do things that they don't always want to do.
I agree. Oh my word. I turn blue some nights just trying to get them to finish their homework.
I totally agree with you, but you have to, you know. And also my husband's family are just so... If you don't do it, it causes enormous offence.
I agree.
Not so much my family, but his family. So I'm like, look, you better sit down and write it. Just do it.
This article has the headline, How to Get Off on the Right Foot. Whether it's a date or a job interview, your shoes say so much about you. It is, of course, terribly important to be wearing the right outfit for an interview or a first date. But it's not your shirt or blouse, makeup or haircut that matter. It's your footwear. A poll reveals that a remarkable 9 out of 10 of us agree appropriate footwear is vital in important situations.
Yes. I disagree.
100% agree.
I've got one foot on either side.
Let's start with Franny. Why do you disagree?
I mean, it's outrageous to say that the rest of the stuff doesn't matter as well, but there are many an outfit, and we can hark back to Lily Allen bringing in the trainer with a summer dress. Mm-hmm. Huge fan of that look.
Love that.
And that would be deemed inappropriate, obviously, if we think about it now. Like, what do you mean she was wearing trainer with a summer dress? That was awesome. Now, I would wear a trainer with a summer dress. I do have a massive phobia of flip-flops. Like, never wear a flip-flop around me. That gives me the ick. I strongly I'm disabled by a flip-flop. And actually, when I first met my husband, he wore Birkenstocks. This was pre-Birkenstocks fashion.
But the first time they were in fashion.
Yeah. And I was like, what are you wearing on your feet? And he was like, oh, they're comfortable, but they're slippers. And I was like, I'm sorry. I can see your toes. It's the middle of winter. We're in England. And then he's wearing socks. As well. And I'm like, are you wearing socks with sandals? What is going on here?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And then literally 18 months later, my other housemate's wearing Birkenstocks. She works in fashion. I'm like, what's going on? Then everyone's wearing Birkenstocks.
Yeah.
The Birkenstocks are everywhere. And now I wear Birkenstocks. And I love my Birkenstocks. Yeah. But same with Crocs. Okay, I'm not a Croc wearer, but they really were heinous and they took off.
They did, but actually, I hated Crocs for a while, but they're so comfortable.
Yes, yeah. You're
so comfortable. My kids had them when they were little. I'm like, oh my God, they're disgusting.
Yeah.
But they are really, really comfortable.
Yeah. People have gems now that they stick in the holes.
Yeah, on the front bit.
Yeah.
But I think about this, though, it's saying that appropriate footwear for certain situations. So, for example, a job interview.
I couldn't turn up in flip-flops for a job interview.
No.
So there is an element of truth that you have to wear the right. For my opinion, you have to wear the right attire and know your audience, know where you're going, know what you're going into. You know, you couldn't go out for dinner at a black tie reception with a Birkenstock because you would look ridiculous. So but all the shoes they stated, I have all those shoes.
I find this kind of thing.
You don't just have one style of footwear. You have trainers, Birkenstocks, high heels. You know, a wedge. Most women, you know, will have a variety style of shoe, and you know what to wear.
So it doesn't mean your personality is with your shoe. I find that so silly.
It's just quite obvious, really, isn't it? It's quite.
Yeah.
It is.
Especially black tie.
Would you judge someone by their shoes?
Yes. I mean, yes. 100%.
More by their feet.
No. Their feet. Yeah, that's the feet coming out of the end of those slipper sandals things.
The grippy toes at the end. They've gone on too long and they've gripped the end of the shoe.
Oh, come on.
Where'd you go out?
It was on a boat in A Coruña, as in...
Showing off.
No, hang on. Question mark. Not one of those boats. You know how they have, like, the gala with, like, the pirate ships?
Yeah.
And I was showing my son, and we were on one, and I was behind this lady, and I couldn't unsee her toes just gripping over the edge of her sandal.
Oh,
and I was like, she's going to fall out of her own shoe. And took a picture, sent it to my friend group. I'm that bad a person. I couldn't unsee this thing. But so huge judge of the feet that are in the shoes.
Not the shoe.
I think you're in the wrong country for not liking toes.
Yes,
they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
You know, it's true. I've got mine out right now.
Yeah. I had a pedicure this morning.
Got your Birkenstocks on under the table with your socks.
Right. We better take a break. I keep forgetting about those. Sorry.
Hannah Murray. TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Women Talk with Nikki Broom, Janet Barnett and Franny Katz. This is talking about going to bed early. You might think the rise of video streaming services would be keeping us awake later at night, but in reality, the likes of Netflix are sending us to bed 20 minutes earlier compared with 20 years ago. The lights now go off at 10:14 p.m. on average, a study of adults' behaviour has revealed. In 2003, bedtime tended to be at 10:36 p.m. And 18 to 29-year-olds, who people perceive to be glued to their screens the most, hit the hay even sooner at 9:42 p.m.
I always wonder who they ask for these things.
I know.
No one's ever asked me what time I go to bed at.
What time do you go to bed at?
Probably 11.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. 11 now, since the clock's changed. Probably 10, about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, interesting.
See, I just love going to bed early and watching Netflix.
Yeah.
I just think it's so, you have to wait for a programme to come on.
Yeah.
You can get ready for bed. It's just so nice watching TV in bed early.
Yeah. I totally agree. Sorry, I'm in bed. I mean, what time do I go to sleep?
Oh, it's 11, 10. Yeah, when you sleep, can be anything. But, I mean, actually going to bed early. I think the younger generation as well, they're so used to screens. They do go to bed earlier because they don't have the same attachment to TV.
Yeah.
We'd be like, oh, that's on at 9. Oh, that's on at half 10. They just they can watch whatever they want, whenever they want. And that's how they view, they perceive viewing phones, iPads, smart TVs. Yeah. It's a different generation.
Mm. For sure, we go to bed early, but we've got a TV in our room.
Yeah.
So we do watch a lot of television.
We watch the laptop in our room just because we were like, we can't have a TV in our room. And I'm like, well, we watch the laptop.
Yeah, exactly.
Night. What is the difference?
Thought, exactly. That's what we thought for ages. So we were like, it really doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't. Need one.
But I mean, very rarely am I asleep before midnight. Very rarely.
Oh, so you're a night owl.
Hmm. I can't sleep earlier. And sometimes if we're getting up really early for a flight and it's like, oh, we need to go to sleep earlier, I still can't.
Yeah, but you're attuned to going to, you have a cycle where you go to sleep at the same time. So even if it's an earlier rise, your body's still in the rhythm.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Sometimes if I'm really, really tired, sometimes I will be like falling asleep at 11 o'clock. But normally I'm asleep midnight, even 1 o'clock sometimes.
Actually, sleep cycles wise, so my husband will fall asleep at 9 o'clock while we're watching TV, but then wake up when I'm like, okay, it's time to go to bed, and then he can't get back to sleep till his next sleep cycle, which is about 2 a.m.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That is the problem, because if you go at the wrong time. We always say, don't miss your window.
Yeah,
say to the kids, don't miss your window, don't miss your window.
It's
very go, now. Yeah. It's like, sleep. I'll be awake. Yeah. So and I don't think people, we always say, don't miss your window, get in bed. Because it's the cycle then, if you go to sleep, wake up,
it's so
all sorts of trouble. Yeah.
How are you with sleep, Janet?
I can sleep anytime, anywhere.
Oh, really?
Bed is about midnight, like you, about midnight. Yeah. Yesterday, I have to admit, I was getting up to go to bed and I was sitting in the chair and I must go to bed. And then I leant forward. I don't know what happened, but I obviously fell asleep. You know those pictures of the people on Spice where they show you sitting
on the
side,
they're all
like that?
Yeah.
Well, I got my head over my knees. I can't do that normally. And I fell asleep with my arms hanging down and my head over my knees. Like,
no.
What happened there?
Oh, wow.
That's unbelievable.
So obviously, my sleep cycle said,
yeah, that's quite now
there you are.
That's incredible. You slept with your head between your knees. That's impressive.
That's
flexible.
Like when you woke up, were you like, oh, what have I done?
Yes. Could you get up afterwards? Because I would have been like, my back would have gone.
Yeah. Sort of amazing.
How long were you asleep like that
about
for?
About 20 minutes, judging by the what was on the television.
That's hilarious.
That's brilliant. I love that. So you literally can sleep
anywhere.
So
you're a good sleeper.
Brilliant. Okay. We depend on them as if they were a member of the family. Now our bond with our beloved gadgets has grown so strong that many of us give them nicknames. I discussed this on Men Talk last week and they all thought the whole idea was ridiculous. And I thought, I wonder if the women are any different. More than half of robot vacuum owners have given their device a weird or wonderful pet name like Mr. Cleaner, while 18% have given one to their laptop. 13% of coffee lovers said they've also nicknamed their espresso machine.
We have a Robbie robot at home.
Really?
He cleans the floors.
Okay.
Get Robbie on. That's what I say. Girls, will you put Robbie on? They know what I'm talking about.
Okay, so you
run over, turn on the Robbie robot.
Yeah. I think it's definitely more of a woman thing than a man thing.
100%.
Yeah. I don't think a man would call a coffee machine like Fred or something. Do you know what I mean? I think it's definitely a female led thing.
Yeah.
Because that's quite. My sister has a robot in. Is it a robot that does all the lawn outside?
Oh, yeah, cuts the grass.
Yeah, cuts the grass, and she has a little. Don't ask me the name now. I can't remember. But definitely has a name.
Has a name.
Yeah, and that's because she says the same to her daughter. But
do you have names for any gadgets? Because I don't think I would.
Hannah, what are you asking me?
Risky question.
Hannah Murray.
Any household useful?
Any device?
Oh dear.
No, I don't know.
I had a friend who called his robot Hoover thing by one of his ex-boyfriend's names, and he'd be on the phone to me and he'd go, oh, hold on a minute, Caesar. Oh, Caesar's stuck under the sofa. And I think, what on earth is he doing?
Caesar,
he meant
girl.
Hoover.
Oh,
got stuck
brilliant.
Under the sofa, but he'd named it after one of his boyfriends. Like, oh.
Okay.
Yeah, I get that.
It's an interesting one.
There are those Hoovers. There's Henry Hoover, isn't there?
Yeah.
The red one's Henry, the pink one's
Henry.
So they also have their own names.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So they're all called Henry.
Yeah.
It's kind of just a product of branding, because also I give nicknames to absolutely everyone. Like, I'll meet them, someone, and then they've got a nickname
I'm
immediately.
A bit like that, actually, I get that.
I'm scared to ask, but who am I?
We're not there yet.
She told me a couple more dates.
Tell
you
me.
You can't say. Yeah. Oh, no.
Not fair.
Okay. Yes, I can't relate to this at all. I don't name anything. I've never named a car. I always wanted to be the kind of person to name a car. Before I had a car, yeah. I was like, oh, I can't wait to have a car and name it.
My car's called
never
Peggy.
Happened. Peggy?
Yeah, you can wave at her when you leave.
Okay,
she's lovely.
Yeah, so you're quite into it.
Oh,
we,
the big
yeah,
name.
Yeah. We discussed because people. Somebody said to me, "Did you name the tuk-tuk when we were in India?"
Yeah,
no.
And we just
the oil can, the petrol can, yes, Jerry, because Jerry can. We called it Jerry.
I'm Jerry Hall.
Jerry Hall.
Exactly. Funny, but we didn't name the tuk-tuk. Hall. We kind of tried. We, you know, threw the odd name, Patsy, and you know, the odd name came out.
I don't think we're like that though, are we? But Jerry Hall was just obvious because it was a Jerry can.
Exactly.
So Jerry Hall needed filling. I love that.
What is a jerry can?
Like those things that you put petrol in and then pour it into the tank.
Oh.
Like a
watering can.
Yeah, but with a petrol.
Yeah, for the petrol.
Oh, jerry can. Sounds American.
Probably. Yeah. Okay, star signs. Want to date me? Not till I know your star sign. In the age of internet dating, social media and readily available pornography, what's the secret to finding love? Is it reading up on your love language or learning to recognise red flags? Well, no. The only thing you need to know is your horoscope. Not too long ago, talking about astrology in the same sentence as your love life would have elicited eye rolls and sniggers. Now, questions about star sign compatibility are nearly as commonplace on first dates as those around your job and how many siblings you have.
Yeah.
Nikki?
100% agree. Absolutely right. It's so... sort of don't believe it, and then you start to look into your own life a bit more deeply in friendships, relationships, partners. There's always a certain star sign that you have more of an affinity with than others. And so you kind of go, oh, well, I really like a Taurus, oh, can't bear, I don't know, Gemini or whatever. So there's definitely truth in it, and they all have their own trait. I mean, I'm really into astrology, so
same.
I'm biased. But it is, for me, I mean, it's just... It's always that you'll always look at people that you're close to that you get on with, and they're always the same star sign.
Yeah, it's right, basically.
Yeah, so what star sign are you?
Guess.
Leo.
That's my rising.
Aries.
And my rising, if people who don't know, is your character you give off.
Yes.
Yeah. So bang on.
So what's
Capricorn.
Capricorn, what's your moon sign?
Okay. The big three.
So you're Capricorn sun.
Yeah. Leo rising.
You definitely got a Leo in you for sure.
I think I'm a Gemini.
Yeah, that also it looks. You seem quite Gemini-y.
Yeah. I like that.
I can remember we had a book. Okay, I can't remember the author's name, but if you're into it, you'll know.
Linda Goodman, maybe.
And every star sign, how you interacted with in a love relationship. And
love that.
So if you met somebody, you'd go, oh, I'll look it up in the book.
Yeah, I always did that as a teenager, tell you exactly
how your relationship is going to work. And there was so much in it that was true.
Yeah, it really is true.
What star sign are you, Janet?
I'm a Libran.
Okay.
Our perfectionist.
Balance.
Don't tell me what my rising or low.
But you don't always know that. But Libra, very sort of balanced, fair.
That sounds about right. I'll take that.
My mum was Libra, always writing pros and cons, list. Is it good? Is it this? And but it does work.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
What are you?
Leo.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm Leo sun, Cancer moon, Scorpio rising.
Scorpio rising.
I've got two waters and one.
I'm also Leo, as is my husband.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But you're Libra moon. So that's good because that's like
that's your love one
in communicating.
Yeah, it is fascinating.
Oh,
it really
makes sense
is
that I communicate as a Gemini.
You're not quite relieved.
Eyes face.
I'm very
attracted to Scorpios.
Okay,
all my ex-boyfriends are Scorpios, and also best friends.
A husband,
Scorpio, moon, rising, and sun.
Well,
it's terrible for him. We actually got our compatibility done at Glastonbury Festival.
And you weren't.
The woman actually said, I can't believe you're still alive, to my husband. Because
really?
That is like...
It's rare.
Scorpios are extremely passionate and deep thinkers, okay?
Yeah.
So the poor guy's head has been, you know, full of stuff his whole life.
Yeah, because rising moon, everything is all the same traits.
How have I ended up with one of him? I don't know.
Amazing.
My husband's Scorpio as well.
Is he?
And my daughter.
I've got a Scorpio son now. Yeah. Great.
Anyway, it's another programme.
It's so good. just chat about. So basically, you agree with this answer.
Yeah, very much.
Is it something that you've thought about, Janet?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. As I say, I used to study it.
Yeah, she had the book.
Only this book. I mean, it was a big fat volume, and it was so well read.
Yeah.
Yes, I do agree. But when I read that my husband and I were totally incompatible,
I should have
read it before we got married.
Yes, good to know before.
Do you remember we used to do compatibility before astrology? We used to write out their names
cross off how many L's.
I've totally forgotten how many O's,
V's, and you remember get the percentage.
Yeah. Oh, I need to do that.
He loves me 85%.
80%
love. Yeah. That was also a fact.
Yeah. But it was also annoying when
it wasn't high enough.
Yeah, when it didn't suit what you wanted it to say.
You just changed it to the nickname.
Nicola. Or the Nikki, surname. Nicola Jane. He will love me.
Oh, this is brilliant. We better take a break. The last one.
Hannah Murray. TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the final part of today's Women Talk with me in the studio today, Nikki Broom, Janet Barnett and Franny Katz. Okay, this is an article we had last week with the men. I wanted to save it for the women. It is all about the ick. It's talking about different things that might happen if you were with on a date that might make me go, oh, definitely not going to pursue this anymore. Is it something you've ever thought about, Janet?
Well, I have had a think about it. And we know that we ever called it the ick, but we're back to the dating app thing.
Yeah.
And going to the cinema with this chap. And when we came out of the cinema, I thought, well, my car's just parked just over there, so I've got a quick exit. And as we're coming out of the cinema, he gets something out of his pocket and he bends down to put bicycle clips around the bottom of his trousers.
Sorry.
I looked down and thought, well, where this is going. At least he's not getting in the car with me. He said, oh, my bike's just parked around the corner. So I said, okay, bye.
Oh, my word.
So bicycle clips. Did it.
Not a vibe.
Yeah. No.
I had at school age, so I was like 17. I went on a date with this guy. No. I was with him. I was dating him fully. And we were at his house. This is really bad because it could be construed as fat shaming, so I may get cancelled. But he ate an entire bag of biscuits, and that was it. I couldn't handle it. I messaged my friend. I was like, he's just eating a whole bag of biscuits.
In one sitting.
Oh,
gross.
It was disgusting. I was like, I can't kiss you after that. You've just eaten a whole bag of biscuits right next to me. You're 17.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I messaged my friend. But did I? No.
I messaged him.
Oh, no.
So there are, obviously, this is back in the day when it's like not WhatsApp, it's just a straight up text message.
Yeah.
So he goes to the loo. I know he's not looked at his phone. I then grab his phone, delete my text message, still sitting there.
So he never saw it?
No, never saw it.
Oh, that's good. Well done. Yeah, well done.
Left and then never
looked back.
I said, I just don't know if it's working.
Yeah.
But I've been ghosted many times, so God knows what their ex were for me.
Yeah,
I can't think of one.
Mine isn't specifically like dating, but I can't stand, literally, it would be a deal breaker, people that cannot hold their knife and fork properly.
Oh.
Absolute. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Like, we're in a restaurant, like, the hands are all twisted and the knives and that weird thing when they do it like that at the end.
This one.
Oh. Yeah, like that one at the end and the fork's not done properly. That's the first one. The second one is eating with your mouth open and chewing.
Yeah.
I'm like, and if my kids dare do it, I am like, literally close your mouth.
Yeah, same.
Like, close your mouth right now. That one I can't stand. There was another one, but I can't remember what it is. But they're generally all kind of related to being eating. Out, manners, eating, yeah. Table manners, you know, not that kind of stuff.
But I hate it when a waiter bends down to your level. I have a real issue. Immediately, I dislike
hilarious.
The waiter.
What?
And I love waiters normally. But if he bends down, puts his arms on the table and is like, what can I get you, ladies?
Oh.
I'm like, what have you done? We're leaving.
You're like, absolutely nothing.
Absolutely
nothing. You can't get me anything.
I didn't get it until you said the able was on the table. That's too much.
You know,
too close.
You know the guy I'm talking about as well. You can see him now, can't you? Like, he's right up there.
Yeah.
Says ladies.
Yeah, but yeah.
Or girls, and both of them are insulting for some reason.
Just too forward.
I'm like, yeah. I don't want to be young and I don't want to be old in this scenario, so be quiet and get off my table.
I don't, I have to say, when you're talking about table manners, I don't see elbows on the table as being a, that much of a big deal for people sitting round the table. You know, that used to be a thing back in the day. Don't put your elbows on the table. But it doesn't seem like that much of a thing now. I don't think that's something I would notice.
No, not so much.
If somebody did it, I wouldn't notice that at all.
It's the elbows on the table holding the mobile phone and ignoring the conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's special.
Yeah, that's bad.
The one I forgot, I've remembered, is people that, sorry if this is anybody in this room, people that can't hold their pen properly. When in meetings and they're writing, like,
I can't remember the last time I used a pen.
No, but it's me, and it's definitely changed that from my generation when I was taught to write. It kind of, there was a cut off sort of, I think, in the '80s. After that,
so no, that's how you've been told it.
Yeah, like that, but normally, but then yeah, no, like people, like, it's very, sorry, listeners, because we're sort of demonstrating with the pen, but like, there used to be a kid.
Yeah.
And like, imagine going to like a meeting at work.
Yeah.
Like that.
You've got like your whole hand.
At one
involved.
Point, my daughter was doing something really like wrong, and I went to school repeatedly to say, "Make change it, change it, change it, change it." And they're like, "Oh, it doesn't matter. She writes beautifully." I said, "It doesn't matter. There's a way to hold a pen, and that's not it."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that's quite old fashioned.
I've never thought of that. Yeah. But
you'll
true.
See. You'll notice now. There's some people, and you're like, "How is that?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
And I bet they can't eat either.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, people.
Yeah,
yeah.
Can't write, can't eat.
Knives and forks.
Yeah, that's all wrong, won't it?
Yeah, I agree.
There's definitely lots of icky stuff around body things that would be horrible and weird to do with, like, you
feet
know,
still.
Picking noses or feet or all that kind of stuff that would be a definite,
gross.
No.
Yeah. They're gross.
Yeah. We all agree with that.
Yeah. Hair.
Oh, what a man who chewed his hair. Could not cope with that.
Anything.
Man who chewed his hair.
What sort of man are you going there with?
Yeah, I don't know. It would have to be long, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got another one. Sorry, this is gross. This is gross, but I've passed this on to my daughter as well, because if it happens and we're both out together and we both see it, we're like literally gagging.
Yeah.
Again, it's all about sort of...
30 seconds.
Children with have snotty noses.
Oh, my gosh.
And it dribbles down into their mouth. And they're like... I'm like, why is the mother not, or the father cleaning not it. Getting a hanky? Wipe your nose, wipe that, and you're just literally being sick. Sorry, that was quick.
Well, we'll end on that.
Yeah,
I think
that's nice. Enjoy your supper.
Happy Thursday.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank
very
you.
Much.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.